Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Asked to speak today, I really thought, that's okay, I know what I'm going to speak about. However, thank God had a different idea, and I truly believe he's put this on my heart for me to share this with you guys today. So church, are we ready? Well, one way we can be ready is to put on the armor of God each and every day, for us and for our families. We have a real enemy and we need to be battle ready daily. So often we face trials, big and small, and maybe nobody wants to admit it, but if you're a bit like me, sometimes I think I can deal with that trial by myself because I want it fixed the way I want it fixed and in my time, and especially if that involves my children struggling because I'm going to deal with this. But if we put on the armor of God, we are reminded to trust in him. He's actually got this. He's got us. I urge you to put on that full armor daily, starting with the helmet of salvation. It helps us to remember that he rescued us. You see, in day-to-day lives, ladies, I'm sure we have all got lots of titles in our workplace, wife, mother, daughter. But the most important title we have is child of God. We belong to him. The helmet also reminds us to protect our mind, controlling what information we allow to filter in, and asking God to clear our mind so we can focus only on him. The Bible tells us to fix our thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right. The breastplate of righteousness. When we ask him into our lives, he accepts us as righteous. We need to make right choices, and doing what is right is not always easy. Keep relationships right. If something requires to be fixed, resolve it. If need be, ask for forgiveness from God, from others. Keep short accounts. The belt of truth. Church, the enemy is a liar. And I believe that as mums and ladies especially, I can speak on that, we are bombarded with lies every day. Social media and society tries to tell us we're not good enough all the time. Oh, if you look like that, if you cut your hair like that, if you wear that, you're not going to fit in. Have you not got this latest gadget for your baby? Oh, well, you're failing as a mum. Oh, there's no point going there. Nobody will speak to you. You'll be left out. And then you feel isolated. Well, I ask you today to buckle that belt tightly because the truth is we are part of a church family. You are loved. You're made in the image of God and you are enough. The shield of faith. The shield is to block the devil's fiery arrows, the lies we can let sneak in, the what ifs. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4 verse 19 that God supplies our every need. We need to take up that shield and trust in God and block out the doubt, the fears and the insecurities. The sword of the Spirit, it's the Bible. It's the word of God. Read it, absorb it, apply it. Use it wisely. Why not write some verses down that encourage you and stick it round the house in places you see? Your mirror, your Bible, the fridge, the sink, wherever you would see it regularly throughout the day. One, a favourite in our house, to especially encourage your children, is Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. And in that verse it says, "So be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." declare it, and believe it. The good news boots. Know the peace that comes from the good news of Christ. Walk in peace at all times. The Bible tells us to go and spread the good news. Share your peace. There's a readiness that comes through the gospel of peace to spread the word. When more and more people know about our Savior, we are winning a battle. We're building an army of believers. Now, church, I might be wrong, but when I'm speaking to you this morning about the armor of God, I think most of us can picture something like this, a warrior. However, this is the truth. We are warriors in faith, but this is our daily battle. We stand daily asking God to put the armor on us so we can face our daily struggles. You might have noticed there's no protection for our backs. The protection for that is to surround ourselves with like-minded, faith-filled people standing firmly together. As women, I think we tend to be relationship-orientated, emotional, and with a need to be connected. And this is often seen as our weakness. However, I disagree. What a gift to work for God, to reach out to another woman, another mum, to help with a baby, to share a meal together, to go for a coffee, to connect. See a need and aim to meet it. Sharing God's love. Women, when we put on that armor, we are alert and ready. It says in Philippians 4, verse 5, let everyone see you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? It goes on to say in Philippians, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And I'd like to pray for you, church, this morning. Lord, make my family strong in your mighty power. Help us to stand firm no matter what we face. Buckle truth around our waists and put your righteousness over us like a breastplate. Make our feet ready with the gospel of your peace and help us hold the shield of faith to protect us from the arrows of the evil one. Put the helmet of salvation firmly in place and give us wisdom to use the sword of the Spirit for your honor. Amen. We are now here from three fantastic gentlemen in our church. We have got David, Andrew and Stephen, and they're going to speak to you this morning on the promise of his coming, the picture of his coming and preparing for his coming. David.
Thank you very much, Adele. Isn't she done a good job of leading the service so far? Give her a round of applause. She deserves it. Come on. Well, as she's saying, I am speaking about the promise always coming. But happy Mother's Day, all you mothers. It is a great day. I haven't even said it to my mum. Happy Mother's Day, Mum. And Jen, here you go. Happy Mother's Day. What a great day to celebrate all the hard work that you guys do. But I think the hardest thing that you do must be the fact that you are always right. Would that be right? Ooh, I've said it now. Is it a mum thing? Is it a woman thing? I'm not sure. But even though they're always right, I don't always understand their ways, especially as a bairn. I had no idea if my mum was picking a boot. Example, has anyone been in the car and as you're a bairn and you put the car light on and it was at night time? You got me in trouble for that. You might not. No? Well, I couldn't understand for why, but the other day I was actually driving in the car at night. Phone fell out of my pocket, Chloe Cairns, that happens all the time. Switch the light on to see if I can find it. Pulled up to a junction with the light on and I couldn't see a thing. So I was like, that would be why I said, need to do it. And another example would be when life group was coming over when I was still living with mum. My room was always an absolute tip, every single time. But when life group came over, it had to be ready. It had to be nice and tidy. Was life group in my room that day? I was so confused. Now that I moved out, I've got Chloe who keeps the house very tidy. Every time I stress it out, she cleans, so house is spotless. But now I understand that when there's a room not complete, when there's a room not ready, the house doesn't feel quite complete. So when my room is an absolute tip, mum's hitting folk over for life group, and she's thinking, just do it. And I couldn't understand it at the time. But now that I've moved out, I totally understand that when a room's not ready, when it's not really done, the house just doesn't feel complete. And Jesus speaks about this in John 14, verses 2-3. My Father's house has many rooms. If this were not true, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take, or other versions say, receive you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. See, Jesus promises us a room in his kingdom, his God's kingdom, his Father's kingdom. And no room is more important than another, because each room represents every single person here today. So when Jesus says, I've got a room prepared for you, he's got a room prepared for you. And it's no less important than the next person next to you. Jesus understands the importance of having the rooms ready for us. And when he's telling the disciples this in John 14, he's actually just said this immediately after he's called out Peter. Remember when Peter denied Jesus three times, by the time the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. That's at the end of John 13, and this is at the start of John 14, him saying that I'm going to come back for you. So Peter's sins are all there on the table. He's been called out. And the very next thing Jesus says is, but I'm coming back for you, and there's a room for you. See, for us, we sometimes mess up. But when I was newly born, I hadn't messed up yet. My mum had all the love for me, but I hadn't yet let her down. But she has the love for me to cover everything that I was going to do. Jesus, when he's seen Peter in that moment, he understood that you're going to let me down, but I'm still loving you, and I'm still going to come back, and there's a place for you. And he says that to us as well. When a mother looks down at our newly born child, perfect. When the father looks down at us through the eyes of Jesus, perfect. And I'm just so grateful for that today, because I've messed up, and I'm sure we all have as well, but I've got a Jesus to stand in the way and say, no, he's coming with me, I've got a room for him, and he's got a room for all yous this morning as well. And it's interesting as well that Jesus called Peter Cephas, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my church. Even though we mess up, Jesus can still build something with you and on you, and you've still got a part to play in this church, and it's just absolutely fantastic. I'm just so chuffed with you. And speaking about, you know, Jesus coming back and him, his promise for us, but how he still sees us as perfection, there's a verse in Isaiah 11, 1-5 that I just think really, like, kind of marries these two points together. And it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, nor will he decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy and give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. There's actually a couple of verses in Revelation which speaks about the Son of Man coming on the clouds with a sash around his waist and a rod coming out of his mouth, with a double-edged sword, like what the word is often described as. So Isaiah here is speaking about the Lord coming back, but also how he is going to come and judge with righteousness. Jesus also speaks about this in Mark 13. He says, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give light, stars will fall, and heavenly bodies shall be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. I think it's interesting that Jesus came first into this world as a little baby, but when he's coming a second time, he's coming with everything he's got. He's coming with everything. And he'll have that sash of faithfulness and righteousness as well. So that's Jesus' promises to us. And later in that verse, he says that heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. That's his promise. What he says is, and what he says is just, what he says is true, and he says he's coming back. So he's coming back. I better believe it, and you hopefully believe it too. The Son of God's promise to us that he will return with that wisdom, with that understanding, with that might. And he sees our failures, and he sees everything that we've done wrong, and says, I have a place for you in my Father's house. And all he asks of us to receive this room is to keep watch. And to keep watch, I think we need to know what we're looking for. And to know what we're looking for, we need to know Jesus. So I'm asking you today in line with, are you ready? Are you ready to know Jesus? Because his promise is that he is coming back. And I'll now pass over to Andrew. Are you ready? But thank you for listening. Well done, David. That was a great job. He's a lot more comfortable up here than fit. I'm going to be, I'm sure of that. So, morning, Abdi. Just want to wish all the ladies here today, mums here today, a very special Mother's Day to you. You all do an amazing job raising our kids, and you deserve your day honour and being spoiled. But do remember, mums, it is Mother's Day. It's nae Wives' Day. It's for the kids to pick up a slack. that was my little command joke to try before we get serious. So, I've been asked to speak today on the picture who's coming. The picture who's coming, I've pondered those words an awful lot this last few weeks. And to tell you the truth, I've found it quite a challenge to put it into words. How do I describe something that I've never actually seen before? Something even more than that, that's never even happened before. And Jesus is coming back. And this time, he's not coming back as a baby in a manger. He's not coming back to die on the cross. No. He's already defeated death. He's already made a way for us to be with him in heaven. This time he's coming back, as David says, he's coming back with all his majesty, all his glory and power. I love the chorus of this song, These Are the Days of Elijah. The chorus goes, behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. And for me, that's about as vivid as I could describe the moment Jesus is going to return. And it's straight out of scriptures. So, what's the picture of his coming look like to me? Well, if you can turn in your Bibles, or it'll be on the screen, I hope, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are left, who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them to meet with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, it says, encourage each other with those words. Again, I'm sure some of you know that I lost my mom in 1995 when I was 10 years old. And it's been 30 years since I've been able to celebrate Mother's Day with her. I often think of the memories I have of her and how different things would be if she was still here. And how if Rebecca and the Bairns had had a chance to meet her, had the Lord not called her home early. But I have to tell everybody here today that my hope doesn't lie in the past with those memories. My hope lies in the future because my mom accepted Jesus into her heart. She knew that Jesus was her Lord and Savior and that he died on the cross for her. Same with each one of us. She was ready for Jesus to come when it was her time to be called home. My dad was always also called home in 2021, and he too had accepted Jesus and was ready for him to come. So 1 Thessalonians there, in chapter 4. For me, that's my picture of the coming of Jesus' coming. It's going to be a day, a celebration. A day of reunion, not only with our Lord and Saviour, King Jesus, but with those I love that's gone before me. Whether Jesus returns first or calls me home first, I'm going to be ready. Today's title of service, Are You Ready? It's a questionnaire that each one of you need to ask yourselves.
And my words to each one of you is to be ready. Do not be left out what day of celebration. We heard Matthew speaking last week about a wedding day, and it's a celebration. Your invites is all out. All you need to do is accept them. So that's all I've got to say before when Stephen comes up.
Well, good morning, Apex, and good morning, church. So good this morning to have been asked to come and to share and to be part of this service today. But just before I begin, I think it's only right and fitting on a day like today that we are mindful that Mother's Day can be a difficult day for many. As we've just heard from Andrew speak there, this can be a day of possibly great sadness or even hurt. But there is good news, because today you've come to the right place. You've come to a church that believes in a Heavenly Father who is in heaven today and who wants a relationship with you. As we've just heard from both David and Andrew on the picture and the promise of his coming, I've been given the title this morning to speak on the preparation of his coming. For those who are familiar with the scriptures and who are regular here in Apex, you would agree that these are three major subjects within the Bible. And Pastor Neil and Pastor Dan could probably give way to 6 or 7 weeks easily on a sermon series on these subjects. And I'm afraid to say I kick off with an apology this morning, because I'm going to be a little longer than the 5 minutes that was given. And if you have a polo or a pandrop, probably now is the time to pop that polo or pandrop. Are you ready is a statement that is often used. I'm sure you've been asked that question many times before. And especially if you're a married husband and wife, I'm sure are you ready is a statement that is used almost every other day. I can see some gents nodding in agreement this morning. But in our house at home, there is my wife Louise and myself, and together we have 3 girls. Yep, and I know exactly what you're thinking, and please do continue to pray for me being the only male in the house. At times there's tears and there's tantrums, and that's just from Louise, and then there's the children on top. But are you ready is indeed a statement that we use quite a lot. But I'm sure you'd agree this morning that in order to be ready for something, you first must prepare. I'm sure today around this room there are many people who have made preparations. Maybe you've made preparations for the birth of a baby. Maybe you've made preparations for marriage. Maybe you've made preparations for a career, retirement. Dare I say, maybe you've made preparations for old age. Or maybe there's a big celebration, a big birthday, a big party coming up that's required preparation. Regardless where we are, there's always something to prepare for. Recently, in our extended family, we welcomed a new baby. Everyone enjoys a new baby, right? Maybe some more than others enjoy a new baby. But our girls were so excited at the thought of becoming big cousins once again. And they would message and text Steph, who was having the baby, every day and say, "Steph, are you ready to have the baby? When will the baby be coming?" Towards the end of the pregnancy, Louise and I sat with the girls and said, "Look, nobody really knows when the baby will come. The baby might come today, tomorrow, the next day. There's lots of things to happen before the baby comes." And then finally, after 41 and a half long weeks, baby Jake made his arrival. Everyone was so happy and so chuffed there was a baby boy in the family. The girls then turned to their mummy, to Louise, and says, "Mummy, are you ready to have another baby?" I never hung around long enough to find out what Louise's answer was. But that night, I offered the girls everything with 4 legs, just nothing with 2. A rabbit, a guinea pig, whatever you want, just not another baby. Joking aside, we are very blessed with the family we have. And just as the psalmist tells us in the book of Psalms, that children are indeed a blessing from God. But you see, like the arrival of a new baby, no one knows the exact time or date of its arrival. Likewise, the Bible tells us that Jesus will return at a time and date unknown. You see, nowhere in Scripture or in the Bible does it tell us of the time and date that Jesus will come. But here's what the Bible says. In Matthew 24, we read these words. Here, Jesus is speaking about remaining watchful. Matthew 24, 42 and 44. The words are behind us here. "So always be ready. You do not know the day your Lord will come. Remember this, if the owner of the house knew that the thief was coming, he would keep watch. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man, Jesus, will come at a time you don't expect. You see, here at Apex Church, as believers and followers of the Christian faith, here is what we believe. We believe that Jesus came to earth as a baby. We believe that he lived and walked on this earth as a man. We believe that he went to the cross to die for my sin and for your sin. And we believe that Jesus was taken from the cross and buried in the grave. But as the scripture tells us, on the third day, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven. And then we believe that one day, possibly soon and very soon, that Jesus will return for all those who love him. You see, upon that very cross, Jesus had you on his mind. Why? Because he loved you so, so much. Now, there's a thought for today, that someone loved you enough to die for you. You see, whether you believe the Bible or not this morning, we've heard many scriptures already, and whether you believe it or not, Jesus will return again. And this morning, I'm not trying to pour my faith onto you. I'm not trying to tell you something that's not true. I'm just simply saying that the Bible, what the Bible says, and the same Bible I own says those words. And maybe this morning, maybe that's the first time you've heard that story or that phrase. And perhaps for others this morning, maybe it's a welcomed trip down memory lane. But I wonder this morning, what do you believe? What do you think? And the very fact that you've came to Apex Church this morning would indicate that you also too believe something of that gospel message. You see, today, what does he want? He loves you so much with an everlasting love. Or as the hymn writer put it so perfectly, here is love vast as the ocean. And today, right now, on the 10th of March 2024, what is he saying? What is he asking for? He wants your heart, and he wants you to turn to him today. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to accept him, and he wants you to commit your life to him. And one day, he wants to welcome you into heaven to be with him forever and forever. You've maybe heard many people saying that we're all on different roads going to the same place. Take it from me this morning, that's absolute nonsense. That is absolute rubbish. You see, most people want to go to heaven for the same reason they want to go on holiday. Why? Because it's the feel-good factor. Because they think everyone else is going. Again, not a true statement. I'm sure this morning there are many people in here who all want to go to heaven. And if you do want to go to heaven, maybe you're asking, well, what must I do? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly and very simply what we must do. In over 2,000 pages from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible narrows it down to 10 or 11 simple words. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. 10 or 11 simple words. You see this morning, maybe this is a newsflash, but you cannot inherit Christianity. You cannot buy a free pass to heaven. Maybe this morning you're going to tell me, but you see, I'm a good moral person. And that's fantastic because the world needs more people like you, but it's not enough. Maybe you're going to tell me, but I'm at Apex, or I go to church every single Sunday. And that's a great thing. The church is glad to have you. But again, it's not enough. Maybe you're going to say that I've been through the baptismal tank behind us. And that's a great witness. That's a great demonstration of your faith. But again, it's simply not enough. Maybe you're going to tell me that you've been to every Alpha session and every meeting that the church does through the week. And that's great. We're glad to see you. But again, it is not enough. You see, a Christian is someone who has made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They've invited him into their heart to rule and to reign. And maybe you're going to ask me again, is that decision really important? Well, quite simply, the answer is yes. Why? Because without it, you simply will not survive. As a small boy in Sunday school and coming through our local church, we were taught the ABC of the faith. A, admit that you're a sinner. Now, there's the one that nobody really wants to do because everybody thinks that they're right. B, believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. There's the fairy tale part that everyone kind of aren't sure if they believe it or not. C is to commit your life to him. There's the bit that we all have a struggle with, to commit your life to him. But then, to be prepared, a total life change is then required. You see, you must change from your old ways. The Bible says that the old has to go for the new to come. And the best way that I can describe it is to think of this. Think of old, dirty, tattered clothes, old, dirty linen. And in its place, put on the new, fresh, clean linen, clean, crisp, white clothes. Take off the wrath, take off the anger, take off the hurt, take off the drunkenness, take off the adultery, take off the envy, take off the jealousy. And in its place, pick up that fresh, clean, new linen and put on, in its place, love, joy, peace, happiness, kindness, forgiveness, self-control, prayer. Read the word, honesty, obedience. So will this happen overnight? Definitely not. But if you do this, if you commit to Jesus Christ, these things will happen. And then you see, we have to, there's always a then or a but, and then there has to be evidence of a life change in your old life. The old has to go for the new to come. And really this morning, if the old life, once you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, if the old life doesn't go, then the question must be asked, what have you really been saved from? This morning, the Bible is clear in the guidelines of every issue of life. My Bible and your Bible will tell you how to deal with marriage, how to deal with money, business, and raising children. Every decision you have to make is found in the pages of the Bible. And the advice from the front this morning, as we've heard already, is to read it and try your best to do it. The Bible tells us to be hearers and doers of the word. You see, being prepared for Jesus to return is to live a life that is pleasing to God. And this morning, for the saved man and for the saved woman here today, that's the goal, to be prepared, to be ready for his return. And the fact is, if you're not looking for Jesus to return, then he's not coming for you. As time does run on this morning, I'm going to cut down some of the points I have just to three simple points to consider. Point one, time is precious. Harboring resentment doesn't glorify God or serve in anyone's best interest. Forgive other people. Is that easy? No, hardly ever. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Parents, grandchildren, aunties, uncles, cousins, consider what we read in the book of James, James 4:14. It says these words, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Make today count. Point number two, be patient and be loving. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Remember, God's timing is not our timing. God's delays are not God's denials. His time is the perfect time. We are told to love each other at all times. In the New Testament, we're given a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. For the sake of the gospel this morning, let's try and all move on and get on together. Point number three, prayer is powerful. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your children's children, even if they're not here yet. Who knows what is to come for the future generations of this world? But today, as a believer, we must believe that the best is yet to be, that the best generation is yet to come. If you were here last week when Matthew spoke online and in person, Matthew spoke of a similar story. And Matthew spoke so well last week. But the Bible also tells us that there will be, the Bible speaks of the day or that day when Jesus will return. You see, we are told that the dead in Christ will rise first, meaning those who have died and either in land or sea and entered the grave, believing and accepting that Jesus Christ is Lord, will rise to meet the Lord in the air. And the same Bible also tells us that those who are alive and remain will then be caught up to meet him also in the air. And for the believer this morning, what a thought that is, what a hope, and what a day that will be when we stand face to face with the one who died for us. But the same Bible also tells us that not everyone is going to go to heaven. Maybe that's news for you this morning, but everyone is not going to go. Only those who have done the ABC, who have accepted, believed, and committed their lives to Jesus will go. For me, everyone has a favorite verse, and for me, this is possibly the crown jewel of all verses for me. Already we've heard David speak of it this morning, but we find it in John 14:3. Here Jesus is speaking to the disciples just before he returns to heaven. And in John 14:3, we read these words, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. See, this morning, that's a rich promise. That is a promise so rich to all who simply believe. Right now, I'm reminded of the Sunday school chorus, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I think it would be a wonderful thing this morning if we would give thought to that very verse, that Jesus will come again. And perhaps you need to think this morning, and if possibly give King Jesus an invitation into your life this morning. Invite him in to rule and to reign. This morning, I think it would be wrong for me to have said everything that I've said without giving mention to an event that happened in our family this week. As it's been mentioned this morning already, most will know that Louise and Alexander's granda passed into eternity this week. And in the midst of the sorrow and the heartache, there was great joy, there was rejoicing that another child of God had gone home. You see, here was a guy who decades ago, gave his life to Jesus. He'd done the ABC. He accepted he was a sinner. He believed that Jesus died for him, and he committed a life to him. So much so that among some of his final words, he was able to pull the strength together to say similar words to those of the hymn writer. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. And then to look on, as the rest of the family looked on, what a witness this was to watch a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, pray her husband of 65 years into eternity. And what a hope that is for each one of us this morning. You see, there is no money that can buy a faith like that. And there is no other God that will give you a peace like that. I would urge you this morning to consider your future, consider your final destination. Where are you going? You'll be glad to know that I've reached the last page of the notes, and hopefully that pan drop's just about finished. I'm sure in the room this morning everyone is aware, or most of us aware, of the story of the Titanic. You see, Titanic was a ship that was described by the architects and the builders as a ship to be greater than God himself. What a foolish statement to make. What a stupid, silly thing to say. Why? Because the Bible tells us clearly, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You see, on board Titanic that night, there were so many people. There were the rich, the super rich, the first class, the second class passengers. And then there were those who had just scraped enough money to buy a ticket. But you see, a few days after the disaster, in the shipping office window in New York, there was a sign upon the window. And on that sign, there were two categories, lost and saved. Lost and saved. You see, that's how Jesus will judge the entire human race when he comes back to earth. Lost or saved. There'll be no male or female. There'll be no black or white. There'll be no rich or poor. And maybe this is news for you this morning. There'll be no blue toon or Brock divide. It will simply be lost or saved into two categories. Which category do you fall into this morning? And let's fast forward to 2024. This morning, the two categories still remain. Option number one, become saved and live a life that is pleasing to God, and go and be with him in heaven and become a servant to King Jesus forevermore. Or option number two, become lost. And will you unknowingly sleepwalk into a lost eternity and become a slave to Satan forevermore? This morning, it really is accept or reject. It's yes or it's no. It's belief or disbelief. You're either in or you're out. There is no middle ground. But if you take nothing else from the service this morning, take this, that God's not in heaven saying, let's make a deal. God's in heaven this morning saying, this is the deal. I am King of all kings and I am Lord of all lords. And ready or not, I am coming again. And just in closing this morning, what is the message from heaven? I believe the message from heaven this morning is not, are you ready? I believe the message from heaven is loud and clear, and that message is get ready. Get ready, why? Because soon and very soon, the King is coming again. Amen.